Hey everybody, thanks for tuning in to the Construction Vision podcast. Follow us to stay in the loop.
Ernest, I appreciate you taking the time.
Hey, I appreciate you having me.
There's no real agenda, but I kind of want to get started with things that you, like different obstacles that you had when you were using ShapeTrace and developing AR for the construction field.
Sure. And yeah, ask some questions. I might go off different directions, so feel free to rein me back.
Yeah.
Oh man, different challenges. Wow. So, I guess if you say AR in construction, they're almost like, if you really think about where the industries are, you know, traditionally speaking, it's almost like they don't mix in a way, right? Because AR is also like a very it's a bleeding edge, like as opposed to leading edge, right? So things are constantly in flux. I'm sure you've seen this. The code basis you're working with, the frameworks, what people are doing, it's all over the place. There's like no set way, which is exciting, but it also makes things really difficult. It also shows you like that the tech isn't mature, right? And then there's the construction industry, which depending on who you talk to, it can be like all over the board in terms of who's like advanced and really forward thinking. And then of course there's these mom and pop shops, you know, subcontractors in somewhere rural who, you know, are just moving over to CAD, right?
Yeah.
So for us the challenge is to find, okay, where can we go after, you know, with ShapeTrace that would make the most sense, right? So it ended up being companies who are working with BIM, but like integrated BIM, like people who actually weren't just dabbling in it, people who knew what they were doing, were already setting up processes, were deploying across their companies, right? That was made the most sense. So that was one thing. And then there's the AR side. Well, that's a whole different other thing as to where AR is at, and I'm sure you've run into some challenges there.
I don't know if you've ever seen Neil Gupta, but he's one of the heads of Boston AR. And he did this this talk on like design thinking,
mm-hmm.
for designing like who your end user is,
mm-hmm.
and he showed like the Gardner hype cycle, and I thought that was like yeah. So I thought that was like very, very like prevalent to kind of like everything that in AR. Yeah.
Yeah, I was hoping, and I'm still hoping that we're kind of getting out of that. The valley of hell, I guess you can say,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like I'm thinking it's starting to go on the up now.
Yeah.
But man,
right? it's interesting because you're starting to see a movie like Ready Player One.
Yeah.
You know, like I wonder what that's gonna do for the industry as a whole. And so now, when we're talking about AR, what are your thoughts on where mobile AR, like the direction they're gonna be going, as opposed to wearables in AR? For the construction field.
Oh, construction industry. Okay, so I think it makes a lot of sense for AR to start with the smartphones, right? Obviously, that's where it's starting, and it makes sense because people on site and the office, you know, chances are everybody has a smartphone. So it's not like a stretch to use it, right? I guess other than training, but. But yeah, it's not a stretch. Whereas I'm sure if you gave you know a set of HoloLens to your site super, it's, you know, they're probably gonna be like, what are you doing,
right? Yeah, right? Definitely.
And at this point, it's this big, right? And it's heavy, and doesn't make them feel good, and they gotta learn a new interface, right? So you know, anything that makes it easy for them, I'm sure the smartphone will be the way forward. It's not the best medium though, like I'm sure you understand. It's like not very immersive, but hey, that's where it's starting. And the way I see it is, it probably means that AR is gonna be more like a feature than the actual like OS, if that makes sense, right? It just happens to be one part of the app, the construction app you're using.
Yeah. That's really interesting. So kind of tell me a little bit about your background and what led you in going in this direction of ShapeTrace, and kind of what direction is ShapeTrace going in now?
Sure. Okay.
That's a loaded question. That's a loaded question. Yeah.
This is
yeah,
long.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sorry.
Okay. Sure. No. I mean, there's just so much. Yeah. Okay. I'll just go ahead. I guess my my background and actually my team's background, we're all come from land survey background actually. So that's how we started. That's what we went to school for, which is, all about 3D mapping, precise measurement, 3D scanning, 3D reconstruction, making sure that things are supposed to be where they're supposed to be, so land survey. And I worked probably close to like 9 years for Trimble Navigation, survey equipment. And I was on their airborne imaging side. And, from all the maps that you see on Google Maps, most of that stuff's made by cameras or laser scanners that they put on aircraft and do that, right? So towards my end of the time in Trimble, I was in the rapid mapping sensor division, right? So like the sensor that, let's say, NOAA would use to fly over, like when there's a hurricane damage or something like that, they would fly these rapid mapping systems and put out these maps, and within 24 hours the first responders have these to make decisions, right? So that's what we're working on. And at the last of it, we were, I think, even trying to put these on the Predators and different drones, right? So that's kind of how I got into like rapid mapping. So then at that time we had the opportunity to say, hey, let's start a new company, let's do something along the lines of rapid mapping, but with our handheld phones, right? So, man, this is a long story.
No, go for it. So, this is great, though. No.
So, the first thing we were like, man, can we replace? Can we do 3D reconstruction, 3D scanning with our phones? Right. That was the first hypothesis, and the answer was yes. Right. You can. It's not as great as the tripod mounted laser scanner. Without a depth sensor. Just straight from the phone, and it is possible, right? But we soon ran into some issues with that, right? With photogrammetric applications. So we said, okay, let's look at what devices out there have a depth sensor, right?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, this iPad and Structure came out at the same time, and then Google talks about the Tango that was coming out, right? Yeah. So like, all right, this is the one. This is the sensor, but. So we were, building our tool sets to maybe gear towards the Tango. And then it occurred to us that, wait a second, when we showed this information to anybody on the construction team, they're like, well, this is great, but, what am I going to do with a point cloud, right? I don't really care. Or if I have a point cloud, I got to find somebody who knows how to manipulate, interpolate, mm-hmm. right? So we're like, okay, well, it can't stop there. It's like, how can we take the point cloud and have it lead to some actionable task, right? Something I can make a decision on. And so so from 3D scanning led us to, well, can we compare the 3D scan to the BIM model, right? And so that was like the second iteration. And
and what year was this around?
This was like 2015, I think.
Yep.
Right? And then the answer was yes, we could do it. You scan something with your phone, with a Tango or something with a depth sensor, have that scan line up with the BIM model, and it could actually pick out like all the areas of differences, right? Right? Down to the object in the BIM model. It can actually tell you like which. Is it the wall that was off or something, right?
Yep.
It could tell you that. But then, of course, somebody's like, well, hold on here. When we talk to the construction crews, they're like, hold on here. If I've already made a mistake, I'm not going to fix it. Like, that's sunk cost. I'm going to try to maybe change the designs, right? And so then the third iteration was, well, can we use this? Can we use this technology to do visualization? Can I see what this space is going to look like before I actually build it, so I can prevent the errors from happening in the first place? And so that actually is how we led into AR, right? It was complete stumble into
it. It's like going to the root of the problem of the problem of the problem. Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
So, at the time, and we didn't know how to do this. We're like, how are we going to visualize a BIM model in a space you know, before, like, let's say, you know, but in the space, how are we going to do this? Like, we don't have a graphics background or anything.
This is pre AR kit. This is pre all of that then.
Yeah. So, but Tango was around. Tango was around. Yeah. So somebody on your team was like, well, why don't you just use a game engine, right? Like, that's, everything's there. You don't have to build all this from scratch, just use game engine. And that's how we got into Unity, right?
Really?
It's like, this is the fastest way forward. We had big debates on, like, should we do Unity? Should we just build it ourselves, find somebody who could do this? And then we settled on Unity. We're like, you know what? We just got to get something out fast. So that's how we got into this, right? Into Unity, so into and AR in general.
So now about ShapeTrace now. What direction are you going in, and kind of the reasons, and a bit about that.
Yeah, so this takes the story to the next stage. So, you know what? People were really enthusiastic about what we were building, right? Because, you know, it's, I guess it's pretty obvious application, AR, pre-visualization, like, of space, right? One of the issues we were having, like, technical challenges was, you know, how can I actually make my BIM model align with the real world, right? And that's a really difficult problem. We solved that problem, but it's not an elegant solution, right? So essentially, it's like, we would, let's say, we didn't do the structural part of any kind of build. We were just focused right now getting on mechanical electrical systems, right? So we could use the walls as anchors, right? So we could match, let's say, a virtual wall in the BIM model to the real world, right? And then our technology searched actually the space and then essentially aligned them all together automatically, right?
Really?
And it was, it actually worked, right? We even went and patented it, right? It does it, and then that was that, right? The complication was we were really relying on some of the base technologies from Apple and Google being at a certain level, right? And when ARKit and ARCore came out, it's like, man, this is not going to work, right? We're a couple years ahead of time, and so we decided to just say, hold on, okay, let's put this on hold for now and turn ShapeTrace into something else so that we can continue to pay the bills, really.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Because it doesn't matter how good your thing is.
Yeah.
If you're not able to keep the lights on, then you're not gonna be able to help anyone eventually. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what happened. So we've turned ShapeTrace into a basically a software development firm for hire. Specializing in augmented reality, location-based services, and funny enough, mobile gaming. So we make games too, right?
There you go. Yeah.
So we went from like pure surveyor people who didn't know anything about gaming to like now game engines to like actually making mobile games for people.
So how exciting, I'm sure, did you hear about the release about Google Maps API for AR, I think mainly geared towards AR Core? But also available to Unity.
Yeah.
So basically giving users the ability to make these Pokemon Go type games. What are your thoughts on that? And how do you think that's going to change the AR app ecosystem?
I don't know, actually. We'll see. I mean, right now, funny enough, we actually make a lot of Pokemon Go type apps for people.
Really?
Right now. So it just lends well to the extension of AR as a feature. But having to have location be like the central core, right, of the app, right? Location and then AR is an extension of that. So what I think about Google Maps API or like whatever, I forgot what it's called, but yeah, it's pretty exciting. But there's alternatives that actually we're playing with right now. I'm sure you've heard of Mapbox, right? So I guess they're based out of DC. They've had something similar out for years actually. So
I was looking at their I integrated it to Unity, and I was using it on like the VDC side where I kind of just wanted to be able to take out the environment and like helping out people on our team for logistics planning. So instead of them having to map out like the streets and the buildings around that aren't really important, having them focus on the plan that we're proposing for. So I was trying to do that, and yes, I am able to take it out. There's a couple, like, yeah, you know, like a couple of hacky ways to export from Unity as an FBX or different file formats.
Oh yeah.
But I was curious about, I was wondering how accurate the data is in Mapbox on like the dimensions, like the area. Like, so if this building is actually to scale.
I have to say, like, we're completely dependent on Mapbox having that accuracy of their data. Like, likewise Google, once they have that out, right? And it really depends on probably how often they fly over the areas and build out those bottles,
yep.
Right? So it's, I don't quote me here, although it's on camera. I think Mapbox is built on like open source people who are you know, enthusiasts, like building, you know, putting out these models, you know, open source form, and that's how they keep updating their stuff, right?
Mm.
So in terms of what speed, I don't know actually.
Yeah.
So
there are advantages to that too, because even with Google Maps 3D, there are certain areas, if they're not like towards the city, that aren't in 3D. For example, like we deal with a lot of places out towards Western Massachusetts, and like when you start going deep towards like the countryside,
yeah,
it's not in 3D. It's just actually just a photo from above.
Yeah, yeah. And did you have any experience with that in Mapbox? Did it seem that people, were there people out there kind of making these sections?
Yeah,
kind of,
it brought a lot. So, for example, I was looking towards an area in Boston, one of the universities, and some buildings were modeled and some just weren't.
Okay.
But the ones that were modeled, it seemed like people probably did upload, whether they had. They modeled it, whether it's completely accurate to scale,
mm-hmm.
but at least if we're using it for like the logistics purposes, the height of the buildings don't really matter. It's more just to create the illusion of the effect, yeah. of what the area looks like.
Okay.
So I wouldn't be a huge stickler on it, but yeah. definitely.
Okay. Okay, cool. Yeah, I mean, hey, if it pushes AR forward, right, then that's, I guess that's a good thing. For those of us trying to build, you know, application-wise,
yeah.
for Apple. Yeah.
All right. Well, I just want to say thank you for for this interview. I appreciate it. And anybody wants to reach out on LinkedIn, Ernest Yap, and I'll leave the information in the description below.
Cool. All right. Yeah.
All right. Thank you very
thanks
much.
Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.